Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to today's episode of Zandemonium, the talk show that gets you talking. I'm your host, Sandra Gibb, and on today's show, I will be, along with my guest, C. Michael Ward, be looking at the topic of bullying. More about that in a mere moment. So you can interact with us during the show, because we're really high-tech here. In the chat room at the bottom of the page, I see some of you already beginning to arrive. You can call us with your questions on 347-884-9061. That's 347-884-9061 for your questions and comments. Now, you can also interact with us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Xander Gibb, X-A-N-D-R-G-I-B-B. That's X-A-N-D-E-R-G-I-B-B, capital X, capital G. Tweet me if you're too shy to make the point for you. And you can tweet Chris, the birthday boy, at cult of CMW. That's C-U-L-T-O-F-C-M-W. Capital C at the beginning and capitals for C-M-W. Now, usually at the end of the show, we have a section giving you a bit of a soapbox called What's Your Beef, which is basically a point in the show where you can share what you want to share. One of the things we're going to talk about in that section is we're going to pay tribute to the 19 brave firefighters that lost their life this week in Arizona. More to come with that. I know Carly is going to call in for that. Don't forget to check out my revamped website, www.xandergibb.biz. Once again, thanks to Brody for all his advice on my website, old fogey that I am. It's great to have a pair of young eyes take a look at my website. Okay, so this is going to be quite a difficult subject to deal with today. Can't promise I'm not going to cry. I hope you've all brought your Kleenex because looking for a positive message, but there's some sad parts. Okay, so it's estimated that 160,000 children miss school every day due to fear of attack or intimidation by other students. American schools harbor approximately 2.1 million bullies, and 2.7 million of their victims. One in seven students grades K to 12 is either a bully or a victim of bullying. 56% of students have personally witnessed some type of bullying at school. 15% of all school absenteeism is directly related to fears of being bullied at school. 71% of students report incidents of bullying as a problem at their school. One out of 20 students has seen a student with a gun in school. Wow. 282,000 students are physically attacked in secondary schools each month. Those in the lower grades reported being in twice as many fights as those in higher grades. However, there is a lower rate of serious violent crimes in the elementary level than in the middle school or high school levels. 90% of 4th through 8th graders reported being victims of bullying. Among students, homicide perpetrators were more than twice as likely as homicide victims to have been bullied by peers. So we can see that there is a knock-on effect. Bullying statistics say that revenge is the strongest motivation for school shootings. 87% of students said shootings are motivated by a desire to get back at those who have hurt them. 86% of students said other kids picking on them, making fun of them, or bullying them causes teens to turn to lethal violence in schools. And 61% of students said they shot others because they had been victims of physical abuse at home. 54% of students said witnessing physical abuse at home can lead to violence in school. According to bullying statistics, one out of every 10 students who drops out of school does so because of repeated bullying. Harassment and bullying has been linked to 75% of school shooting incidents. I don't know about you, but I find those figures frightening, to be honest. Now, in 2011, 14-year-old Jamie Rodemere was found dead at his home in Buffalo after taking his own life. He was bullied at school and online with gay slurs for more than a year. "You weren't born this way. You should have never been born. Jamie is stupid, gay, fat, and ugly. He must die." Another similarly hateful comments were sent to him. Now, I believe these bullies were complicit in his death and should have been brought to task for their role in this young man's life being caught short, cut short even. Jamie had just started his freshman year at Williamsville North High School, but the bullying had begun during his middle school, according to his parents. He'd told his family and friends that he'd endured hateful comments in school and online, mostly related to his sexual orientation. Shortly before his death, Jamie took part in the online video campaign It Gets Better in an effort to help others in the same situation as him. Lady Gaga weighed in on the situation via Twitter and said, "Bullying must become illegal. It is a hate crime. I am meeting with our president. I will not stop fighting. This must end. Our generation has the power to end it." I would like to dedicate today's show to Jamie Rodemere. Rest in peace, you light up the sky. In a 2007 study, 86% of LGBT students said that they had experienced harassment at school during the previous year. And research indicates that LGBT youth may be more likely to think about and attempt suicide than heterosexual teens. In a 2005 survey, students said their peers were most often bullied because of their appearance, but the next top reason was because of actual or perceived sexual orientation or gender expression. Now, according to the Gay and Lesbian and Straight Education Network, in 2007, nearly 9 out of 10 LGBT youth reported being verbally harassed at school in the past because of their sexual orientation. Nearly half, that's 44.1%, reported being physically harassed. And about a quarter, 22.1%, reported being physically assaulted. Nearly two-thirds, 60.8%, who experienced harassment or assault never reported the incident to the school. Of those who did report the incident, nearly one-third, that's 31%, said the school staff did nothing to respond. Gay teens are statistically 4 times more likely to be bullied. Gay white males are 5 times more likely to kill themselves. How can we change these statistics? How can we ensure that these tragic events never occur? Does the media feed into this, and do the laws in this country surrounding equality affect the homophobic message given? I believe there's a trickle-down of hate, and it starts at the top. I am convinced that having a pro-gay president that is willing to make change will hopefully decrease that hate somewhat, but there is still, unfortunately, a lot of work to be done. Surely, we all have a moral obligation to make this world a better place. Bullying is for losers. So my guest today is C. Michael Ward. You may know him from Twitter. I asked him to be on the show today to share his experiences. As like myself, he was bullied as a young person. And Chris is living testimony that it does get better. However, I wonder what level of tolerance he had to endure to be able to get through school. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show. You're live on Xandermonium.
Hi, Xander. Thank you for letting me on. Bullying changed my life always, but I've learned to make fun of myself because people have made fun of everything I do. From being gay to having a big nose to being Jewish, everything. So I've learned to just make fun of myself. That way they can't make fun of me.
Right. Well, let's go back. Let's go back a little bit because that was a great opening statement for us. But before we go into everything, it's your birthday today, is that right? You're 25.
Yes, I'm 25.
Well, happy birthday to you, and I hope you have a fabulous day. And I just kind of want to talk to you a bit today about the things that you've encountered. When did the bullying begin with you? How old were you?
I was a young kid. I was probably in elementary school, and people threw rocks at me and called me a faggot before I realized I was gay myself. And it was very hard for me to get to school.
Right. And did you who did you tell about it?
Well, I told my grandmother. I told my mother. I told a few adults, but a lot of times I just kept to myself in school. I really didn't tell anybody.
So when other kids made comments to you about being Jewish or having a big nose or any of those things, obviously all of those things hurt. What were other people's reactions to that? Did any of the teachers ever say anything? Did any of your friends get involved and try to assist you?
You know, I don't remember any friends getting involved. Excuse me, there were a few teachers, but I don't remember any friends getting involved.
Right.
But it was hard on me, though. I said it was hard on me for a long time.
Right. I hear that, and I think that a big reason why people why other kids don't intervene is because they're afraid of getting bullied themselves or indeed getting attacked themselves. I remember being in school and being verbally and physically attacked for being fat, for being gay, whatever it might have been, being called a Mary, a Nancy, and all of these things. And I remember saying to teachers, "Can't you hear what these people are saying to me?" And their response was, "Can't you just ignore it?" Which to me, I just found amazing, you know? But if I responded and said something equally as bad or more cruel, I was the one that was sent to the principal's office for this. So you said you were physically attacked. Was anything ever done about that? Were the police ever involved or did the school suspend anybody?
They threw rocks at me, and I think I don't think the police was involved. I told the principal. You know, I really don't remember those days. I just remember the incident. I don't remember, you know, what punishment they got.
Right. And how do you feel if you were giving advice to someone that was being bullied now? What would you tell them? Would you tell them to just ignore it? Would you tell them to tell someone, or what would you do?
I would tell them to tell a trusted parent or a trusted friend, an adult, and, you know, if they don't help you, then call the police. I mean, I think police should help you. I don't know if all police will help you. There are a lot of police who don't do the right thing, but you can always try.
Right. No, absolutely. And I think that most schools now are implementing anti-bullying policies, but I'm not sure how well they're working because the school's powers are limited. You know, some schools operate like a three strikes and you're out system, which I think is good as a deterrent, but all that happens then is that bully ends up going to another school. But I think there's a bigger picture here because clearly anyone that's bullying is doing it for a reason, and I'm not excusing it, but you know, research has proven that people bully because they've got things going on in their own life. Do you feel the level of response given to any bullying situation should be bifold. Should it be to help the bully change their behavior as well as stopping them from being a bully?
Well, I think that, you know, the people who make fun of gay people, I think I think it's because they're gay themselves. They want to come out or they can't come out. And I also think
right.
that they were raised, people who bully people are being bullied themselves by people. So I think, I don't know if they may not always know any better, but they need to stop for sure.
Right. Because I don't think any of us are born with hate or discriminatory practices. These are all things that are learned, surely. You know, you're not a child and you're not in a room with other kids and you attack them for no reason. I believe that all these bad behaviors are learned behaviors, not just not just something that happens.
Yeah, I
Hello?
Agree. Should I
with you? Yeah, I got that. So do you how do you feel being bullied affected the standard of education you received? And did you have to change schools at all?
You know, I didn't have to change schools, but it really it helped me get an education. It helped me keep I did go through bouts of depression at the age of 16 because of all the bullying, and a lot of it was in my own family. But I got through it with meditation, and I think kids should kids need meditation, and kids need a good role model.
Right, who do you suggest the role model might be? A peer or a pop star or a teacher or who would you suggest that role model be?
Well, I suggest it be somebody in your family or somebody that you trust. I mean, you know, if you have a family that you can trust, turn to somebody that you know online, on Facebook or Twitter, that knows your story. Turn to them.
Right.
If you can't find anybody in real life, then I suggest you do that.
Absolutely, and there are organizations that exist now, like the Trevor Project, and I'll give the details later on in the show. But are there specifically to assist with young people who are being bullied? I mean, it's not just children that are bullied. You know, there's all kinds of bullying. Adults bully too. There's cyberbullying that we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show also. But I think the general message with regards to people who are being bullied is that they should report it, because I think the other side of the coin is, you know, you don't know who else this person is bullying, and you don't know that if you report them, how it could help other people too.
Yeah, that's true. You don't know. You're right. Nobody knows. Nobody knows she's getting bullied unless someone tells them.
Absolutely.
Bullied.
So when did the bullying stop for you, Chris? Or do you still feel like you're bullied sometimes?
You know, I really don't feel like I'm bullied nowadays. I mean, you know, I do get a few that are like nonsense, but I guess that goes with being in, you know, with the business I'm in. You know, the broadcasting
right.
business. Like, I guess that comes. Stop.
Right. So when did the bullying stop for you in school, and what stopped it?
I don't think it ever stopped. I think I went through it all through school and stuff, and I did want to drop out of high school. I don't think it ever stopped, but it for a long time, but, you know, I don't even let it bother me anymore.
Right. So do you feel like being bullied ever made you bully others?
Yeah, it did kind of cost me to bully others, people in my family and stuff. I mean, it does make you, when you get bullied, it does make you to bully people, and I was wrong for doing that, and the people who bullied me were wrong for doing that. I'm innocent. But, you know, after you learn from that and know it's not okay, I think it helps you have a better life.
Absolutely. I had some friends come visit from England last year. And one of the girls was saying to me, "Do you remember when you used to bully me, Xander, before we were friends?" And I'm like, "I used to bully you?" And she's like, "Yeah, you used to call me some hideous names." And then when I thought about it, I kind of remembered it. And it kind of made me feel a little bit of shame, but I kind of think that there's an element of a pecking order with bullying. So people that are bullied tend to bully others, either as a way of getting out of being the one that's bullied, or to kind of move up that pecking order somewhat.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't really realize you're bullying somebody till after you meet them.
Absolutely.
And then it makes you feel bad. And then it makes you feel bad for a long time.
Okay, let me just give out the phone number again if anybody wants to call in with a comment or a question. You can call us on 347-884-9061. That's 347-884-9061. Hi to everyone in chat. Hi to Carly. Hi to Doug. Hi to Joe. Hi to all the guests. I don't know where Kathy is today. We miss you, Kathy. Chat room's very quiet today. I think it's maybe because it's a serious subject, or they're all drunk in their yards listening to the show on their iPhones. So what else do you feel could have been done to assist you with this problem, Chris?
I think I could have had more help. I really didn't, you know, I think schools teach kids how to meditate. I mean, you know, it's for everybody. I said meditate, not medicate. I think more schools need to teach do that. It's not a religion thing. Everybody can do it. So I think schools need to teach it.
Right. I know some schools like have as part of the timetable information about anti-bullying, but I kind of think that should be an imperative, because it's important to ensure that that young people get an ideology early on about looking out for others, because surely if you have that ideology about treating people with respect, then you're going to be far less likely to bully. Hello?
Hello, I'm sorry, Xander. What did you say?
I said if it's taught in schools, the ideology about looking out for one another and treating people fairly, surely that's going to have an impact on the level of bullying that goes on.
Oh, absolutely, it will. Absolutely.
So have you, go on.
Have I what?
Have you seen any of the people that bullied you since you left school?
You know, I really haven't, I really don't keep in touch with anybody from any of the schools I went to. So no, I don't see anybody. I don't see anybody that bullied me, or which is, you know. But I hope they're doing well.
I do too. And funnily enough, I went back to England a few years ago, and I had to rent a car to get around. And the only thing they had was this big, really posh, like SUV off-road vehicle that looked like it cost $1 million. And I went to a place to get gas, and this guy was cleaning the windows, and he was someone that had bullied me in school as a child. And he recognized me, and he said, "I remember that I treated you really badly in school, and I'm sorry." And I said, why was that? Why did you treat me that way? And he went into detail about a lot of the things that he'd been experiencing in his life, too. And there was a part of me that kind of wanted to hate him and punch him in the face. But when he told me about the things that he had experienced as a child, it kind of made me understand a little bit better about what he'd been through. Hello? Hello? Chris, are you there? I think we might have lost Chris. Can you still hear me in the chat room? I'm just wondering if it's one of Blog Talk's usual software issues that might be going on. But let's... Yep, people can hear me. So are you there, Chris? Hello? Nope, can't hear you, Chris. You've gone. So while we wait for Chris to call back, his call is dropped. Thank you very much, Blog Talk, the most amazing software in radio. So as we said earlier, bullying can take many forms, including cyberbullying, sending messages and threats or to a person's email account or cell phone, spreading rumors online or through text, posting hurtful and threatening messages on social media. You know who you are. I think Chris might be back with us now. Just 1 second. Hello, is this Chris?
Hello, I'm so sorry, Zander. My cell phone's acting really, really weird today.
No problem. I just started talking about cyberbullying, and I was just going through some points. So I'll finish those points, and then we'll talk a little bit again. Pretending to be someone else online to hurt another person, sexting or circulating suggestive pictures or messages about a person. Cyberbullying can be just as damaging and can lead to anxiety, depression, and even suicide. Also, once things are circulated on the internet, they may never disappear. They can be there forever, resurfacing at later times and renewing the pain of cyberbullying. Cyberbullies think that attacking others online is funny, and they may not realize the consequences for themselves. The things teens post online now may reflect badly upon them later in life when they apply for college or a job. They can lose their cell phone or online account, and more legal action is taking place for people that are abusive on social media. If the bullying was sexual in nature or involved sexting, the results can include being registered as a sex offender. Teens may think that if they use fake names, they won't get caught, but there are many ways to track someone, including via their IP address. Cyberbullying is defined as tormenting, threatening, harassing, or embarrassing another person using the internet or using technologies like cell phones. The psychological and emotional outcomes of cyberbullying are similar to those of real-life bullying. The difference is that real-life bullying often ends when school ends. For cyberbullying, there is no escape, and it's getting worse. Now, just before we go into some more cyberbullying statistics, Chris, have you ever been bullied on the internet?
Yes, I have been bullied on the internet. And it's really hard for me to take a joke on Twitter, especially. But I've learned that a lot of people I talk to like to make jokes, and it's hard to know if they're joking or not. But once you talk to them and on the phone and stuff, then you realize that it's all fun and games.
Absolutely, I think that it takes a long time to develop a thick skin on Twitter. and social media. And I think that part of the problem is, you know, you can say a sentence and you can say it five different ways, but still be saying the same words. Now, with Twitter and social media, a lot of comments are down to interpretation. Now, I think that we have a responsibility. If we don't like what someone is saying, I think we've got every right to say, you know, that we don't like it. And we have every right to say, if you continue along this line of commentary, I'm going to have to block you. Now, there is a school of thought that I'm seeing more and more, that the blocking is for pussies. Now, I think that that's absolutely ridiculous. If someone's attacking you, if someone is giving you a hard time on the internet, why does stopping them from doing that make you a pussy?
Yeah, I don't know why it makes you a pussy. I think, you know, I don't know why. I can't answer that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it was more a kind of like open-ended question, because I don't think it makes you a pussy. And I think the people that are saying that it makes you a pussy are the ones that, frankly, are doing the bullying. And the unfortunate thing is, we all get caught up in this. When someone attacks your friend on Twitter, you know, I had to take a step back the other night. I defended someone on Twitter, and I've done it several times. And then the person who was actually, that you're actually defending, goes away, and you end up as the one that's kind of in the fight, you know. That's very funny, Joe. But for me, you know, the essential is look out for yourself on social media. Don't allow people to attack you. And if they do attack you, tell them to stop or block them and report them. If they cannot handle the fact that you're standing up for yourself, then screw them, basically. Do you block people, Chris?
You know, I did block a few people that I felt were attacking me, but, I kind of know, you know, when people are joking, you know, and stuff now, so I don't really block people anymore, but I did it when I first joined Twitter.
Do you think there's a point to what people should be able to say? Do you think there's a limit? What point do you think it becomes attacking?
You know, I'm all for free speech, but once you start sending death threats, I think that's one step too far.
I totally agree. I know that a lot of celebrities get abused on Twitter. And they end up blocking people. And I know that from some research that I was doing recently, that lots of people are actually being prosecuted for harassment for attacking on Twitter. Because for me, where the line is drawn is, it's about how well you know someone. Now, if someone tweets me, "Shut up, fat ass," and I don't know them, to me that's a little bit too much. But if it's someone I know, it's funny. Now, a lot of people would say, what does it make a difference who says it? Well, I think it actually does. How well you know a person, it kind of dictates how far that they can go. So have you got that list in front of you?
Yeah, I got the list. Do you want me to read it to you?
No, I thought we could do it together. So Chris,
okay,
and I now are going to talk about, give you some bullying statistics. I'm going to start, and then Chris is going to carry on, and we'll take it in turns. Okay, so nearly 43% of kids have been bullied online, and 1 in 4 said it has happened more than once. Hello?
Okay, yeah. 70% of students report seeing frequent bullying online.
Over 80% of teens use a cell phone regularly, making it the most common medium for cyberbullying.
68% of teens agree that cyberbullying is a serious problem.
81% of young people think bullying online is an easier way to get away with it than bullying in person.
90% of teens who have seen social media bullying say they have ignored it. 84% have seen others tell cyberbullies to stop.
Only 1 in 10 victims will inform a parent or trusted adult of their abuse.
Girls are about twice as likely as boys to be victims and perpetrators of cyberbullying.
About 58% of kids admit someone has said mean and hurtful things to them online. More than 4 out of 10 say that it's happened more than once.
About 75% have visited a website bashing another student.
Bullying victims are 2 to 9 times more likely to consider committing suicide. Now, I find those statistics really concerning, don't you?
I do. They're very concerning. And, you know, I was just watching a show, too, and I just want to say, you know, this is on the topic of bullying, that women and gay people in general they probably get bullied more, and maybe African Americans, too, any minority, they get bullied more than anybody else.
Right. I agree. I think Twitter, in doing some research for this show, I found out that Twitter, why do I keep wanting to call it Twittier? Because Twittier sounds prettier than Twitter. Twitter has really stepped up its anti-bullying. And there are a lot of people out there with more than one account. And they sit on the internet all day attacking people from these different accounts and then encourage others to do so. Now, I think we all have to really try not to get caught up in that, because it's very easy to do it. And frankly, I think we don't realize how bad it is to be attacked on social media till it happens to you. Because believe me, when it happens to you, you actually see a different side of the story. You actually see how it feels. And if that doesn't stop you from getting involved in this rabble-rousing and attacking other people, I really, really don't know what will. So let's talk a bit about prevention, Chris. What do you think, let's start off with the school situation. What do you think that kids can do in school to prevent from being bullied?
Well, I think that they can stay away from the person, report it, and not let it bother you. You know, just kind of walk away. You know, don't get caught up, and don't say anything back. Just walk away, and if the person follows you, then find somebody and tell that person and tell a teacher or an adult that person is stalking you.
Right. So, what do you think parents should do in this situation?
Well, they should listen to their kids, and they should ask their kids and have conversations with their kids and tell, you know, see if their kids are being bullied, and if they are, they need to get off their ass and do something about it.
Right. So what about if the school doesn't do anything about the bullying? Because we know for a fact that quite often, you know, this is the thing, teachers can't be everywhere in the school. I appreciate that, and they do have a very difficult job. But I believe that if a teacher is presented with an issue of bullying, that they need to do something about it. What do you think parents should do if they take it to the school and the school does nothing?
3 words: remove your kid.
But what about before that?
Well, then they can, you know, if they can't remove their kid, then they, and the school doesn't do nothing about it, I would say call the police. Let the police get involved. Report them.
Right. Okay, yeah, I agree with all those things, but and I also think that if people are not happy with the level of response they receive from school, they always have a legal recourse, and they can always speak to the County Board of Education. They don't want these things happening in schools, and they don't want schools not responding to bullies. And I'm led to believe that 9 times out of 10, when you go to the County Board of Education, it actually escalates the matter so that it is looked at rather than swept under the rug. Now, one thing that I think that that we all need to do is we need to change how people feel about bullying and make sure adults and children know about the severe effects of bullying and what to do when it occurs. And I think that the ramifications of bullying, you know, at its highest point is that someone could kill themselves. I mean, how can people live with themselves if they've bullied someone and then that person kills themselves? I know there's a school of thought that you're responsible for yourself, but I still think that we all have this responsibility. Would you not agree?
I do agree. We all have a responsibility, each one of us, and you know, not just kids, parents and guardians have responsibilities too. They have a responsibility
to teach, they have the
responsibility to teach their kids right from wrong.
Absolutely. And I think that we all need to encourage children to have a model of how to treat others with kindness and respect, because I actually feel like a lot of that went out of the window over the past 20 years. You know, kids have become very, very tough, and the scary thing about it is that I think that has contributed to the mass epidemic of bullying that we're witnessing today. What do you think the community's response to bullying should be, Chris?
Well, the community needs to get together. Everybody needs to join their community, get together, make signs, you know, sign petitions. Don't ask for money, because a lot of people don't have money. And just volunteer. Don't do it to get paid, because that's not going to prove anything. Volunteer to join your community to stop bullying.
Absolutely, I agree. Bullying can be prevented, especially when the power of a community is brought together. And community-wide strategies can help identify and support those that are being bullied and redirect the behavior of the bully and change the attitudes of adults who tolerate bullying behaviors in peer groups, schools, communities, and social media. Why, Chris, do you think is the biggest reason why people don't get involved when they see someone being bullied or attacked?
Well, I think the biggest reason, Xander, I mean, you know, let's face facts, people have guns. We don't know who people are anymore. People have guns, and, you know, you don't know if they're using the guns to protect themselves or to kill somebody. So it's hard to get in the middle. That's why you need to call the police. You cannot go out
Absolutely.
And get in the middle. If you go out,
Absolutely.
If you go out,
I don't disagree with that. A friend of mine was telling me that they'd gone to an all-night ATM at some shopping mall in the UK, and someone stuck a gun in their face and said, "Give me your car and your money, or I'll shoot you." And she said, "I'm not giving you my car or my money." So he shot her, and basically he took the car and the money anyway. You know, the thing is that you can replace things, but you can't replace your life. I agree that far too many people are afraid because they might get shot or they might get hurt in the process. But I think in some situations, if you're a good talker, you can actually talk people out of situations without being too affected. Like I once saw a gang of kids surrounding another kid, and I got them to leave the kid alone. But you know, you are right. You don't know they could have turned on me or anything.
No, you don't know who people are anymore. You know, that's what I was trying to say. You don't know who people are anymore, and so you really can't get in the middle. You got to call the police. You can't, you know, don't risk your life, because what's that going to prove? That's not going to prove.
Absolutely. So what do you think about bullying in social media? How do you think that we can help others to overcome that, Chris?
I think if it's somebody you know, ask them if they're joking. You know, unless they're sending you death threats. And if they are sending you death threats, report them. You know, but if you like to joke around, or if you're in the business like you and I are to joke around, then you gotta really, you know, see if the person's joking or if they're being, you know, you gotta know the person. And if you don't know the person, report them. But if you know the person and, you know, you're in the business to joke around, then you gotta make sure they're joking.
I absolutely agree, and to block someone straight away or to report them to Twitter straight away is really not the answer. But I think if it's something that you're that's ongoing, then it's important to do it. We've got a caller. Let's let them on. Hi, you're live on Xandermonium. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, it's Rob. How are you?
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I am fantastic. First of all, I want to tell CMW happy birthday.
Thank you. And I
have a few things to say on the bullying thing. First of all, with Twitter, I think it's very hard to read someone, as you guys said, online. My number one suggestion would be, and I've realized this from doing a radio and having relationships, like friendships that way, is that you need to have a support system in your real life, and you got to find somebody. You got to get out, and you got to find, because if you go online to turn to someone, you don't know who it is. You don't know who they are, where they're from. I mean, anybody could be anybody online. So I think that's a very bad mistake, is to go online and turn to Twitter or any kind of chat room for support. I think number one should be real life people that you can interact with, and I think interaction is very important as far as relationships go, and for a support system, I think it's very important that you have a physical, you know, not like, you know, sexual, but physical, you know.
Well, I've offered, Rob.
Interaction with someone. I'm not saying that you can't meet and be friendly with people online. I'm just saying if that's all you have, that's a big mistake, in my opinion. And my second thing is I know you guys have all these solutions for bullying. And when is bullying too far? And is there a point to where we think it just toughens people up a little and everybody has to go through it? Because, I mean, I don't know. I really can't think of anybody who's never been bullied before.
No. But you know, let me give you an example. On Twitter, you have to be very thick-skinned. But if someone pointed out to you that they weren't happy about what you said, Rob, you'd be the first to apologize or back off, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. I definitely would. Sorry to run.
Right.
Not everybody
is like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would.
That would be an invitation to be more. You know, I, at the end of the day, I see it's just Twitter, but even in your Twitter life, I don't think you should have to be attacked and bullied. And if it goes to beyond a point that you're willing to accept, it doesn't make you a pussy to block someone. If someone's attacking you,
I don't think so either. Especially if you're going on just to have fun or provoke people. If someone's really bothering you, I block people. I don't think it's a pussy thing to block someone. I don't feel like I should be required to read somebody's hateful messages to daily. I that's just not a requirement in my life. That's not good for me to read constant negative things about myself constantly. And there's times when I have blocked people, and there's times where I've stopped going in my own chat rooms in my show just because I feel like it wouldn't be good for me to read as much negative stuff about myself as is usually out there. You know, people are bullied for all different reasons. I mean, I was bullied for being gay, and I'm not gay. I was bullied because everybody in school knew my dad was gay. So I was bullied. Of course, I had to be gay as well because my dad was, according to kids. So,
of course. And all my brothers are gay because I'm gay. I mean, you know,
A lot of gay people think it's like when I tell them I know what they've gone through at school, they look at me like, yeah, fuck you. And I'm like, no, I'm serious. I was basically, you know, bullied for being gay, even though I'm not gay when I was in school. And plus, I was born with a cleft lip, and my lip was all fucked up, and I got bullied for that. And then my dad finally got me a plastic surgery when I was in sixth grade because he was so fed up with it. So it's tough. I mean, I wish there was a solution, but I don't know. At some point, I think it toughened me up a bit and that I had to handle it on my own. You know, there's sometimes, you know, when my dad would go into school and, you know, go fucking nuts if something happened, and it would just be embarrassing to me. I thought, I don't know. It's hard. I mean, that's why I say I don't know the point of bullying where you should start getting the law involved and a bunch of people involved.
I see that, and I'll hold my hands up. I've been the first one to say, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to get my lawyer onto this. But for me, some things are a little kind of too detrimental and a little too close to the bone. You know, and I've been vilified for things on Twitter that are absolutely damn ridiculous. But frankly, you know, there is a rise in people being in litigation because of social media. I mean, you know, to be honest, most people on social media, what would be the point in suing them? Because, you know, most of them don't have a nickel to scratch their ass on. But I think what is imperative is that we have to look at what we put out there. You know, my skin has got thicker and thicker and thicker on Twitter. There are some things I won't tolerate, but most things I will just laugh about now. And after the big, the last big thing about me being a racist and all of that BS, you know, the thing is that if things are not true, then why let them get to you anyway? But unfortunately, when you're attacked by one person, it's one thing, but when you're attacked by a group of people, it intensifies that level of attack, really, I think. Kathy just joined the chat room, Rob. And,
hi, Kathy.
Was that
but,
Ryan?
It's hard being online and doing this, like whether you're doing a radio show or you're just hanging out on Twitter and, it's hard. People get nasty, and you don't have that interaction with someone, like I said, which is very important in life, and that's why I think your main go-to people for support should be people that you can actually physically interact with. And I've even pointed this out before, you know, when the Cult of Jake gets fired up with me, it's so easy to fight online, and then once they call into my show to confront me, like, you know, Brody or anybody else, it becomes very calm. And it's just automatically the change from typing online to having a phone conversation with somebody makes things so much better. That's why I say that having a physical relationship where you see that person is the most important. Again, I'm not downing anybody for making friends online or being friendly with people online. I'm saying as far as a support system, I think number one, it's got to be someone that you have that you see, that you can talk to, that you can sit at a table with, make eye contact with. I think that's very important.
I agree. And I think, you know, I'm not a parent, but as a parent, you must kind of, but, you know, I know your kid is quite young right now, but when she goes into middle school and stuff, you know, there are all these things, all these kind of potentials for being bullied and stuff. Do you feel as a parent, if your kid came home and said, hey, I'm being bullied, you would kind of, how would you deal with that? Would you kind
well,
of...
I mean, I'm a, I'm a parent. I would probably go fucking ballistic. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's maternal and paternal, for most paternal instinct, that when your kid is being hurt, that you want to run in and protect them. So
absolutely.
I don't know. Parenting, like they say, old common saying, doesn't come with a handbook, and it's hard to know what to do as a parent, even now. And I'm not looking forward to these days when she goes into middle school and high school. But I'm hoping that as that happens, I'll be getting more experience as a parent and more experience at life and becoming older and wiser, and that I will, have a feeling, have that gut feeling of what the right thing to do might be. Whether, I don't know, it's hard. It's hard to say what you
And you really don't, I often hear people saying about, obviously the bully's got issues and what about them. But if it's your kid that's being hurt, you really don't give two shits about what's happening with the bully, do you? Because they're exercising their demons in a negative way, which affects someone that you care about. So that's really not in your scope of concern, is it,
Yeah, I mean, like today I was at the pool with Lucy, and there was a bigger kid just splashing around, not looking, and he's like a big doofus, and he almost knocked into Lucy, and she's so small, and I was, I wanted to look at him and go, watch what you're fucking doing, you fucking doofus, who's watching this fucking kid, but I can't do that.
Yeah.
That's not
yeah.
But that's
I hear
you
that.
To protect your, your kid.
This bigger kid knocked down my niece when I was at the playground with her and my sister, and the parent didn't even care, and I wanted to punch his face in, and I had to go and sit in the car because he was like, oh, well, she shouldn't have been in the way, and I was like, ooh, it really kind of like made me angry. But you're right, it's all very difficult, and I think you have to it's good having all this information, but every single situation is different. You can't apply all of these ideologies to every single situation. But what really prompted me to do this show was that I'm sick of hearing about kids and people killing themselves because of being bullied, and we all have a responsibility in that, really, as a wider community to kind of try and stop that from happening, because it's devastating. 14-year-old kids killing themselves because people are too fucking dumb not to get their own issues dealt with, rather attack others in the process.
That's why I also think, and not giving excuses to any bullies, of what I was saying earlier, is that why I think of having that relationship and someone you can turn to is very important, because I would think that anybody that would take their own life because they're being bullied really has no solid support system at home.
Absolutely.
So they feel like they have nothing left, and need to take your own life. That's very, very extreme, and you have to be feeling pretty low, and like you have nobody in the world to go ahead and go through with something like that.
Yeah, no, I just this kid that I dedicated the show to today, he killed himself two years ago, and I just when I saw that, it just kind of brought back for me all the feelings of my experiences of being bullied, which I'm sure you can associate with, and I just think that I know you can't, you're never going to stop everything, but that should never mean that you don't try to make things a little bit better.
I agree, and I just wanted to call in and give a couple of my thoughts. Not that they're needed. It's just hey, it's a talk show, right?
Absolutely. Thanks for calling. Well, are you sure you don't want to sing happy birthday to Chris before you go?
Oh, I would, but I'm starting to come down with laryngitis, so I can't really sing now. I don't want to hear me. I don't want to lose my singing contract,
Great comeback. Before you go, Rob, tell everybody when your show is and where they can find you.
You just go to robintrav.com. That's where our show is, and we're live You can listen anytime, but we're on live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time. And you can also, if you aren't on a computer, download the TuneIn app and add the Robin Traff station. This week, Susie Meister on the show.
Cool. Maybe I'll might just tune in for that. Susie is a real favorite of mine on the Jake Pamblin Show. So thanks for calling us, and have a great day, Rob, and say hi to Patty and Lucy
thanks
for me.
Ah, will do, and happy birthday, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
That was Rob from the Robin Trav Show joining us on air. You were very quiet during that segment, birthday boy. Were you surprised that he called to wish you happy birthday?
Oh yeah, I was very surprised, and I was just, you know, I didn't want to cut anybody off. I was just letting you guys talk, and you know, I'll talk to Rob in a few days, so you know, and on Twitter, so you know, I don't need to talk to him, you know, on the radio right now. But I was surprised, and I thank him for calling.
Absolutely. So, any final thoughts or words of advice to people who are being bullied, Chris?
Well, I think what Rob said is true. I mean, you know, even though I know you and Rob off Twitter, I think that you still need somebody that you can talk to in your house too. You know, in your house that can see you face to face. I think that's important.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, Chris, thank you very much for joining us today and giving us your insights on bullying. And I hope you'll come back and join us again in the future. Thank you for sharing the time on your birthday, and I hope you have a fabulous day and many more. Thanks so much, C. Michael Ward, for joining us today. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Surely we all have a duty to our children and young people to offer them guidance and advice on how to deal with things they may encounter in their life, or that maybe they don't understand or have no experience of. Inclusion of homosexuality in sex education would be a start. Homophobia is no more acceptable than any form of discrimination, and is a social disease that we cannot allow to continue. Society has to take a lot of the blame for indifference. With all the current issues pertaining to gay rights being unsettled, I am sure this adds validation to the ideology that gay people are of secondary importance and that promotes homophobia. Equality is a right, and discriminatory practices only change by educating those who allow their bigotry to overtake their common sense. To harass and bully someone for any reason is not acceptable, whether that be in the schoolyard or on the internet or on Twitter. You know who you are. In the Senate or on the sidewalk. If you're being bullied or harassed, tell someone about the things you're experiencing. Chances the person treating you this way is also doing the same thing to others. It does get easier, and bullies are damaged individuals who need to back off and deal with their own issues. I was sent this quote this weekend, and it's really poignant. Thank you for sending it, Wendy. It was a quote from the Dalai Lama. He said, "When we develop care and concern by thinking of others, not as them, but us, there is no room for bullying, exploitation, or deceit." So don't despair out there. If you are being bullied, please contact the Trevor Project. That's www.thetrevorproject.org. And you can call them on 1-866-488-7386. That's 1-866-488-7386. I will tweet out their information after the show. Now we're going to go to once again thanks to C. Michael Ward for being our guest today, and for bravely sharing his experiences of bullying. The number to call in for What's Your Beef is 347-884-9061. You don't have to just call in with a beef. If there's something you want to share, if there's a point you want to get across, feel free to do so. That's 347-884-9061. Looks to be having some interesting conversations in the chat room. Hi to Wendy. Hi to Kathy. What's this? Well, mine isn't ever going to be a mass murderer. I'm sure you mean your kid, Joe. Okay, so I see Carly is in the chat room, so I'm just going to do this introduction before she comes on. So today I want to pay tribute to the 19 firefighters killed on Sunday in the Arizona wildfire who were young, brave family men. Many followed in family footsteps when they decided to dedicate their lives to battling blazes, and a number of those lost were in the beginning stages of starting their own families before they were trapped by a fast-moving fire in central Arizona on Sunday. They were a group known for being tough as nails, but with a lighter side that was needed to cope with the demands of the job. By now, many leave behind their wives and children who understand all too well the sacrifices their loved ones have made. I pray that they will find peace, and my heart goes out to you all. Now, I have Carly on the line who as an Arizona resident, wants to just talk a little bit about the people who have been lost. Welcome to the show, Carly. You're live on Xandromonium.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
No problem. So I believe you knew some of these brave firefighters that died.
Yeah, I actually knew three. I was actually in a state of shock for like that whole entire day because my brother-in-law, aunt, niece, she knew one of the firefighters because one of the firefighters was engaged to her niece. So I've kind of known
right.
The whole entire family, so it was kind of like a state of shock that morning when I found out. And then,
that's right.
Like 5-6 hours later, I found out I knew two more people, and I just didn't know what to do. Like, I wanted to cry, but at the same time, I was confused and like, what the, you know? So.
Right. So I guess
actually,
how you.
I'm sorry.
No, go on. I was just gonna say I actually guess the way you feel is pretty much how everyone in the local area is feeling because it affects you more when it's something that happens locally.
Yeah, because I grew up in that area. I know exactly where they died. I know. Darnell, and I've been in Prescott all my life, so I just knew exactly what it was. And I found out that what happened was it was a wind shift, and a bunch of flames shot up and then went right back down on them, and they got knocked down, and that's how they died.
So how far was this from you? Was it very far? Could you see it from where you lived, or was it kind of quite
a
way away?
Well, I'm not there now. I live in California, but I've been...
You live in California, but you're actually from Arizona. I'm sorry, I misunderstood, right?
It's okay. But it's about a 45-minute drive where I used to live, and I drove through Darnell all my life. I've always gone through there, so it was just really
right.
Hard to hear about all this.
Absolutely.
I moved to California when I was 18, Kathy. I'm reading the chat.
Right. I think it's terrible, and I think that it only highlights for us how imperative our emergency services are, the firefighters, the police, and the and the doctors and stuff. And I think it's only when something like this happens that we fully appreciate how much of an integral part they are of our society.
Yeah, and I really knew Robert Caldwell. He was, like, one of the greatest guys. He was so sensitive and nice and everything. And finding out that he was their stepfather, that just really made me sad. Like, you know, he had this chance to become a dad, and just gone in an instant.
Right. And I guess there'll be a memorial service for them quite soon, will there?
Yeah, it's gonna be on Tuesday from 11 to 1. It might be on YNPL. I'll tweet it out and stuff.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure our hearts go out to all the families of those firefighters. It is very sad, and I think, you know, like I say, it's sad that it takes something like this for us to be totally appreciative of what these brave men and women do for us every day to keep us
yeah,
safe.
Yeah, and I just found out earlier there's so many wives who are pregnant who babies aren't going to know who their dad is. That just really made me even sadder because, you know,
yeah, I hear that. Yeah,
most trying to process it.
They said that most of these guys were in their early to mid 20s. I mean, it's no age to go. I mean, even with a dangerous job, I can't even begin to think what these families must have been must be going through right now.
Yeah, and sometimes they didn't know that they were out there. Some of the families, they had no idea until they got called saying, come to the Yarnell fire station. And that's how they found out. And, you know.
Wow, that's absolutely terrible. I don't watch the news a lot because it's always kind of sad stuff and bad news. But I just, you know, I my heart just goes out to them. But listen, Carly, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your feelings with us today about these people. I send my condolences to all of their families, and I once again thank you for calling in, and we look forward to hearing from you again in the future.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Carly. Okay, well, we're practically at the end of the show, unless somebody else wants to call in. 347-884-9061, what's your beef? If you have a point to make, whether it's about this show or about anything else, anything that's pissing you off, maybe it's me, it probably is. I piss everybody off, haha. Thanks again to Carly for calling in. That was very nice of you to share your thoughts and feelings about the fallen firefighters in Arizona. Our heart goes out to their families and all of the Arizona residents. Okay, I'm just going to give this number out once more if anybody wants to call in and give us your point of view. 347-884-9061. That's 347-884-9061. I just want to take this opportunity to give out the information once more about the Trevor Project. You can find them at www.trevorproject.com. That's spelled how it's said. And the number is 1-866-488-7386. That's 1-866-488-7386. Also, you can check out the Scarlet Teen Project. That's scarletteen.com. And also, wearetheyouth.org. weartheyouth.org. All of these organizations, I will tweet them out. They're all there to help people who are being bullied. Well, I think no one else is calling in today, but I would like to thank C. Michael Ward for joining us as our guest today on the topic of bullying. If you are being bullied out there, tell someone, speak to the teacher. If you're being bullied on social media, block. You are not a pussy for blocking, no matter who tells you you are. And also report violations to Twitter. Thank you so much to everybody for calling in today. Got some great shows coming up for you. Next week, I've got the amazingly funny and talented and beautiful comedian, I'm not sure what she prefers to be called. We'll check that out. Lana Turner, who is the wife of Ralphie May, and is a very funny lady in her own right. She's going to be joining us next week and making our sides split. Also, I'm just waiting on confirmation for a couple of other very interesting guests. 2 weeks' time, we're doing a show on Monsanto and GMOs, and we're going to take a look at the Hawaiian crisis that Roseanne Barr has been talking about in 2 weeks' time. Hopefully she'll come on to talk about it, but I know that Jenny Pantland is going to come on and talk for a bit about it. Wendy says she thinks I should make a show around her. Damn it. Wendy, you know you're welcome to call in anytime. We could definitely do a section about you and talk about your charity. You're more than welcome to do that. Jenny is coming on. I think it's going to be 2 weeks' time. I have to set the date with her, but we're going to do a show about Monsanto and the Hawaiian crisis and all the backdoor bullshit that Monsanto are trying to do there. Okay, well, I think that's it. We're not getting any more calls today. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Carly. Thanks to everyone in chat. Thanks to Carly, Doug, guest, Joe, Kathy has disappeared. I don't know where she went. Wendy Ponzo, yes, you finally got your your account so that you can chat. Yes, Kathy, my brain is gone. Wendy wants me to mention her charity, which is Rerun Rescue. Wendy will tweet out the address of that. It's an organization that rescues horses and rehomes them. Check with Wendy for the details of that, and she will give you more information. I see Danica arrived, so Kathy had to go. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Got some great shows coming up. I look forward to speaking to you again soon. As I said, this show is dedicated to the memory of Jamie Rodemeyer. Rest in peace. You light up the sky. Thank you very much, and I will see you all very soon.